So they'd be sitting in a booth, and you'd be at the bar.
Booth, and I'd be in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when a gentleman sees you alone, he's going to approach you more so than if you're sitting with someone.
Sure.
So there was quite a few times that the guy would come up to me and we'd start talking, and I would we would sit there and talk and have a drink, and then. And he would ask me how I wanted to do it. I would never leave the bar with anyone, ever. I never left the bar with anyone. I made them meet me somewhere,
mm-hmm.
or I would meet them at the room. That's
oh, the why? Why?
I think I was, deep down inside, I was ashamed of what I was doing.
Oh, you wouldn't walk out then?
No.
I
was kind of ashamed of what I was doing, and a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds like a contradictory statement, but it's not. I was ashamed of what I was doing, and yet the money was so good.
Of course.
And I didn't have to, like I say, perform anything I didn't want to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, the gentleman would meet me. After a while, I got tired of doing this, and this was just before I quit totally prostituting. A gentleman come in, meet me, we'd have a drink, and he would ask me how much and stuff like that, and I would never tell him how much. Right at the bar. I knew enough not to do that because I would get busted.
Oh, okay.
Okay. They'd have to, actually at that time, they would have to hand you the money. You'd have to tell them how much you want, and they would hand you the money, and they could bust you. The minute you took the money out of their hands.
Yeah.
Okay? Which I did have a cop at one time, and I'll tell you about that
uh-huh.
later. So anyway, when I got tired of prostituting, like I said, we would be in the bar, the guy would come in, we'd talk, and he would ask me where to meet him. I'd ask him if he had a car, and he'd say yes, and I'd tell him, where is it? And he'd tell me, it was in the parking lot on the side of Marino's or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I would tell him, okay, I'll meet you there in about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. All right? I said, but wait until I come out of the bathroom. Now, I would walk in the bathroom, Marty would come in the bathroom. My girlfriend would come in the bathroom. I would tell her where his car was and where I was going to meet him. She would leave first. She would stand on the side of the Marinos with her friend.
Mm-hmm.
I came out. Well, the guy, I'd come out of the bathroom and the guy would leave. And they mug him.
Mm-hmm.
They mug him. They scare him. If it's a big guy, they put him down.
And put him down, you mean?
Knock him out.
Knock him out, okay.
They give him, they take all the money. We never hurt anybody to the point where they were injured bad.
Uh-huh.
Only that time that I almost got killed.
Yeah.
But to mug someone, we were able to be smart enough to pick out the ones that talked to me and know that they either wouldn't fight back or that they were too old and scared to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to kind of feel it out. If I didn't think it was right for my friend to do, I would just tell the guy I wasn't interested and I'd leave. I'd go down to the bar or end of the bar or mm-hmm. sit with her.
Now, were you, this was a setup in which you did not have to actually prostitute. Were you looking?
There were times when I did have to.
Okay, so this was kind of a mixed period.
There was times when it was a definite thing that I had to be in the room with the guy.
Yeah.
And the one guy was at the Genesee Hotel, way downtown.
Right.
And he came in and I met him, and he was an out of town bus driver. And he told me what hotel he was in, and then when he got to the room, what hotel he was checking into. He had just come in and stopped at the Wonder Bar.
Yeah.
He would call me on the Wonder Bar phone, payphone, and I could meet him in his room.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what he did. He went and got a room. He was going to stay for the weekend, and he called me on the phone and told me what room he was in. My friend and our friend,
mm-hmm.
two girls, went with me to the Genesee Hotel. We walked right through. They didn't stop us. Usually, you're stopped and asked them where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't stop us. We walked right through. We went up to the room. I held the elevator. so the elevator couldn't go down. I put my foot where the mm-hmm. elevator door couldn't close and go down or up. My girlfriend knocked on the door, and he said, "Who is it?" And she said, "It's me." He opened the door, and the two girls tagged him. And pushed him on the bed. Didn't hurt him. They pushed him on the bed, tore the phone out of the wall, because he was trying to get to the phone. And he would have got to the phone before we got downstairs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Made him take all his clothes off, because mm-hmm. he showed him his wallet, and it was only like $50 or $25 in his wallet, mm-hmm. I don't remember right now. And she made him take everything off. Well, he refused to take his socks off.
Mm.
Well, right there, no, right? There's where the money is. Mm-hmm. He refused to take his socks off. She pulled his socks off, and out of both socks came all this money, $100 bills that he had folded under his foot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's screaming and hollering, and this other girl, she was a weirdo. She always carried tape with her, and she put it over his mouth, told him to shut up. Then she tied him, just his hands, and they ran down the hall. They had all the money. They ran down the hall and got in the elevator, went down, and left. Well, that's another time that the very next day we went down to the Wonder Bar. The owner of the Wonder Bar says, "Get out of here." And we said, "Why? The cops are looking for you. Why?" He said, "You held a knife on this guy and you stole all his money." So we didn't hold a knife. There really was no knife.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't hold a knife on him, but he said, "Get out of here." Well, in the meantime, here comes the cops pulling up with this guy in the car. And they threw us in the men's room. The Wonder Bar, the guy that works at the Wonder Bar, told us, "Get in the men's room."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "The men's room, get in the men's room." So we went in the men's room. And we were in stall, sitting up on the toilet seat, mm-hmm. where they couldn't see our feet or anything because we were scared. Well, they never did come in the men's room, but they checked the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't there. And the guy at the bar said he hadn't seen us. So when we came out, they were still looking for us.
I'm going to ask you, who was tending bar at the Wonder Bar at the time?
George.
Yeah, I do remember.
And the owner. But at that time.
Who was the. Yes.
But at that
right,
time.
Right, I remember him.
Just the first one I told you was working.
Yeah,
at that
okay.
Night, at that time mm-hmm. during the day.
It's one.
So anyway,
it's okay.
It was in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
It had been in the newspaper that they were looking for three females, two dressed as males, who robbed and attacked this man. But he didn't pursue it because he didn't know what to tell his wife.
I guess not.
He was from out of town,
yeah.
And they sent him a letter stating that they were still looking for us and all this, and would he come down when it was time to press charges? And then he called up the police company and told them, the police department, and told them he wanted to drop the charges.
Yeah.
No more.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was quite lucky. We were quite lucky in a lot of the things that we did on the street.
Yeah.
The muggings, and we even took a guy right to his home. Right to his home.
Yeah.
We got him. He thought I had a car because he didn't have a car. I met him in a bar, an old man. So I said, "Well, we'll go in my car." And well, he said, "You can come to my house." I said, "Okay." So, like I said, in the meantime, like the bathroom bit, we did again, my friend and I.
Yeah.
And we did have a car. And she gave me the keys to the car. And I went with him out to the car. In the meantime, the girls were gone, and they were on the side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
That the car was parked right in front of.
Yeah.
Okay, it was like a little alleyway, and it was dark, and they were just sitting in there, or standing in there. When I opened up the door to let him in, and he got in, they jumped in.
Mm-hmm.
And I went around and got in the driver's seat, and I drove. And the one girl, not the one I was with, she held a... It was like a, I don't know if it was like a small pen light, flashlight or something like that. She held it to the back of his head. He thought it was a gun.
Yeah.
So he was scared. So he told us where he lived and everything. And we went there. And he had a brother that we didn't know was there. He had a brother, and this time he only lived 3 blocks from my house. And I didn't know it. Well, he was 3 blocks from the house. We went there. His brother was home. And the two girls took care of them. Made them shut up, made them sit down, made them do a lot of things. And this was all without weapons.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't use a weapon. And I went through the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally found, they're telling me they didn't have any money or anything. And they were starting to believe them. And I said, no, there's money here, there's money here. You know there's money here. And I'm checking all around. And there's a drawer under an end table.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a drawer that you wouldn't know was a drawer.
Mm-hmm.
It was like built into the end table. And I'm trying to pull it, but it's moving, but it's not opening. And I feel a little lock underneath the, like a little lock underneath the end table.
Mm-hmm.
And I made him give me the key. Or I told him I'd bust the whole thing open. So he gave me the key. And I opened the drawer. And believe me, Madeline, when I tell you thousands of dollars, it was thousands of dollars in that drawer. And I took it. I even took his color TV. Took his color TV and took everything that I thought was valuable. We took. And he reported it to the police too, but they never found us. He couldn't even remember what kind of car we had or anything. We didn't hurt them. We didn't tie them up. We didn't do anything. We locked them in the bedroom until we got out of there. That's all we did. And we had some moments. You know, and very, very close run-ins like that,
mm-hmm.
where we could have really done a lot of time for him. That
yeah.
started scaring me too, and it started scaring my lover, and so we gave it up completely, and that's when I went into dancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your lover eventually approved of what you were doing. Of the hustling and whatever the other things were.
Yeah, I think she didn't.
Maybe she wasn't crazy about it.
Crazy about it. She didn't like the idea, but the yeah. money was good, and I
sure.
got her to like the money.
Sure,
that's
sure.
true.
How did the other parts of the lesbian community at that time act toward you or toward other women who were hooking?
I never had any problems. I got along great with just about everybody. There were girls that were hooking that were in the gay life that you just didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like them. Not because they were hookers, but you just didn't
basically
like them. Their personalities mm-hmm. were shitty.
Right.
A lot of them, you know, couldn't care less if you wanted to be their friend or not.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, but most of, there was very few of them, but most of the girls that were in the gay life got along.
Mm-hmm.
They accepted one another, never got into fights over a trick or anything mm-hmm. like that, but to my knowledge.
So mostly you hung around places where that kind of behavior was pretty acceptable.
Oh yes, oh yes.
Did you
never went anywhere else to pick up anybody.
Did you ever go to any other gay places where that kind of behavior did not go on?
Oh, yeah, straight through. Well, the Wonder Bar was a mix.
Right, but I mean other gay bars.
Gay bars, no. I never, when we went out to a gay bar, it was to have fun
mm-hmm.
and not do anything mm-hmm. like that. And it wasn't, I've never seen in a really gay bar where that went on.
Mm-hmm.
See, I never really did see this, only in one bar, which at that time was the Eagle Inn.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some, once in a great while, a few stray guys would come in.
Right.
You know, and there were, I noticed at the bar, a few of the girls talking to them. So I figured that's what was going on.
Uh-huh.
See.
I don't remember much of that at the Eagle. It was very little.
Oh, I loved it down there. It was just wonderful.
What about the other lesbians in the community that would go to the Eagle, how, and they were not part of, for instance, the group that hung out at the Wonder Bar or Marino's or any of the, you know, the bars around Chippewa, how did they treat you, people who were not part of a group that accepted, or did they accept it?
I mean, they didn't know.
Oh, they didn't know.
None of the gay community knew except the ones that we associated with at the Wonder Bar, like the girls that you know, the Butches you know.
Yeah.
We're very close now, never had any problem with that. The only one that I had a problem with that blabbed a lot was the two that got me started in the first place.
Okay.
And a few of the girls that I didn't know in a friendly way, just to see them once in a while, did know about it through this person.
Yeah.
Never condemned me for it. And the rest of the community didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I went out to the gay bars, I was strictly with my man or my friends. I wouldn't even consider doing anything.
I want to ask you about something. You've used the phrase two or three times already, my man. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. What does it mean to you to say it that way? I mean, you know, and you've said, I knew I was with a woman. What does it mean to you to say about your lover, my man?
I got into that expression when I was with my second lover, okay? Which is when I was with him for 22 years.
Oh, you mean?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Very stern on that. She wanted to be known as him, my man.
Okay.
Stuff like that. All the first 10, 15 years, I really wanted to do that too. You know, I felt that's the way she wanted it and that's the way it should be, and she looked like a man, and okay, that's all right. And I would even say it out in public, that's my man. And I'd be proud of it. I mean, I had love for this woman that I never thought I had love for anybody in my life. You know?
I know.
And after a while, when things started going downhill, I don't know why I changed my attitude about it. I just kept saying, well, you're a woman and you'll always be a woman. Why can't I say she or her? You know? And she still didn't like it. To this day, she still likes to be called my man or my husband or whatever. But I don't do that anymore.
So essentially you did that to please her.
Yes. But I enjoyed it too. I started to enjoy it. I really did. I started to enjoy thinking of her as my husband, and we lived like a man and a wife would live, and she looked like a man, and like I said, acted like one, and, you know. And it wasn't that I was after a manly figure, because I really don't think I was. I really don't. I just loved the way the Butches looked. They were so attractive, you know, and you couldn't make out who was who at that time, you know. And now most of the girls that I see, some of them I can pick out, other ones I couldn't tell you, you know. And now I guess they call them kai-kais or something.
Well, that's a term that I heard in the early 60s, late 50s and early 60s.
Oh, really? Must have came back, because I never heard that.
Yeah. You know, but I think the meaning was different then than it would be used now. I mean, women who are sort of in the middle, not identified as butch or femme.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Did you find life easier then because of how clear that was?
Well, yeah, in the gay community, sure. I found it easier. You know, at least I knew who I was talking to, and you know, even with friends.
Yeah.
People would come up to us, at least I knew when I was talking to her Fenn, when I was talking to her Butch, or, you know.
You knew who was who?
Whoever came to talk.
Some women found it easier. Some women found it restricting. They felt they didn't have the space to be the kind of broad range of person that they really were.
Well, I was restricted in certain ways. You mean according to your Butch, or according to society, or what?
Well, it mostly in their intimate relationships.
Yeah.
You couldn't do the things you wanted to do.
If I was coming out of a bathroom and some Butch started talking, don't dare stop and talk.
Uh-huh.
Don't dare. I was under a table at one time because I was talking to my first
Your
Butch.
Ex? Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that was mainly because the girl that I was with at that time knew what she had done.
Yeah.
And I had the nerve to get up and dance with her.
Oh.
But she asked permission. She came over and asked. She said, "All right, if I dance with your woman." And the woman I was with said, "It's up to her." So I said, "Oh, okay." That time I was at a point in my life where I didn't know how to say no. No, I knew her, and then I knew what she did to me, and then she always apologized, so I felt sorry.
Yeah. I think what I meant by restricted was, for instance, there were, because of the rigidity of roles, sometimes butches felt like they wanted to not always have to be the aggressor. They sometimes wanted to be made love to, and the rules... Okay, it's 1:05, and this was great. It was really great. Well, I'd like to make another appointment, and continue sometime.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.